Blog Talk Radio.
All opinions, comments, and representations made by the hosts of Brilliant Ideas Radio and their guests are strictly for entertainment purposes. Well, at least that's what we think we're doing. Entertaining you. Welcome to Brilliant Ideas Radio. Brilliant Ideas Radio keeps you informed about all the awesome products and people in the food industry. Brilliant Ideas Radio is about food, music, and most importantly, having fun with your friends. And now, here is the man with the master plan, Brilliant Ideas. So join the fun and call the studio number at 714-242-5272. Once again, the studio number is 714-242-5272. Just when you thought radio was safe, a new kind of radio is on its way. Food, music, and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Coming in 2014.
Everybody out there in Blog Talk Radio land, this is Green Ideas, and as the man said, Green Ideas Radio coming to you from the East Coast in the beautiful state of Maryland, and as the man also said, we are going 24/7, 365 days a year, sometime in 2014, whenever we get this funding together and get it all lined up, so stay tuned. But in the meantime, we'll be here every Saturday here on Blog Talk Radio, as we have now for over 2 years. And thank you for joining us each and every Saturday for this foodie show that keeps growing and growing. And we got great guests today. We have from the Kickstarter website, as you know, I like to bring on people from Kickstarter. I found a really cool couple. Their name is Matt and Corey Wallace. And they are starting what they call a ketchup revolution. And they'll be coming on to talk about their new fruit ketchup called Chup. And secondly, you know him from Top Chef Season 2 and also his recent appearance on Cutthroat Kitchen. We have Chef Michael Midgley joining us today as our second guest. And we'll be talking about Top Chef and his competition there in Cutthroat Kitchen, which would be very interesting, a kind of an inside story on what's going on there and what he's up to. And then thirdly, we have our musical guest today, which I love this guy's music. His name is Lucas Jack, and LucasJackMusic.com. And if you haven't heard his music yet, you're missing out on a treat. The guy's got a great set of pipes. He's a great singer, songwriter, and kind of an unknown, but I think once you hear him, I think he's going places, and I think the guy's got lots of potential in the music world. And so looking forward to a great show. You guys are keep listening to us, and you're keeping us in the top 10 each and every week on Blog Talk Radio. Appreciate everyone and your support each and every week and listening to us and telling your friends and sharing our links and et cetera, et cetera. And just thank you for being there for us, and we'll keep doing this as long as you want us to, and I guess you want us to. So anyway, moving right along here, our first guest will be coming on here, like I said, from the Ketchup Revolution, Matt and Corey Wallace, in about 10 or 15 minutes. But before we go to them, I got to bring on our food news Jersey style girl, Laurie. And Laurie, good morning. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm on top of the world today.
You're on top of the world, and why are you on top of the world?
Well, as you always say, onward and upward in life, and
yes.
I have you.
Oh,
and
boy,
I have
here
you.
We go.
Had to get
go.
A little mushy in there, you know.
Yeah. You're ruining my reputation, you know. Anyway, well, I'm glad you're on top of the world. I'm glad we are moving onward and upward because that's the only way you can go, because if you go the other way, you're in big trouble. So we're moving onward and upward. And I don't know if you missed my intro. You had me a little nervous there for a second. I thought, oh, my God, where is he? I'm hanging out here by myself.
Yeah, well, my phone locked up on me. It wasn't letting me dial, so I had to reboot.
Ah, well, you always got to reboot. We should be hearing from, the shoemaker cobbler said, you always got to reboot. Wasn't going to say, oh, Aaron will be joining us. He's supposed to be on here now. I just spoke to him 10 minutes ago, and he's at another wrestling match. He said he'll be calling in, jumping in and out based on when his guys are wrestling. So we never know when he might show up, and I got to pick on him anyway when he shows up, Laurie. You know, he's always picking on you about the news and how
I know
you read the news, and you know, from cover to cover, every period, every comma, every exclamation point. So last week, well, we'll just wait till he gets there. Last week he decided to be Mr. Newsman, and I'm going to pick on him about that. But while we're waiting for him to show up here, did you like my ham soup?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because we have to talk about this. I had it for breakfast. Unbelievable. But you have to tell everyone, I know we've talked about this before, what you do, but just kind of explain your marinating to people.
Well, first of all, soup is my specialty. I don't know why. It just had this knack for soup, and it's just like, for some reason, I can mix it all together, and it comes out good. I don't even know how I do it most of the time, but the one secret ingredient that I always mention to people that people just don't know, coffee is the key, or coffee, as you say it,
coffee.
Is the key for making soup, making marinade. If you cook your soup and add, like, I don't know, I probably put in 3 or 4 cups of coffee in with the soup mixture along with the stock and everything else, it just adds a pop to it. And when it comes to marinade, we've talked about this before, but coffee, I don't know if it's the acids in the coffee or what. But
it breaks it down, and all the meat is like butter.
It does. If you put chicken, ham, turkey, whatever it is, if you put it in a marinade with a coffee mixture, plus whatever other
brewed coffee, though.
Ingredients.
It's brewed,
yeah.
For people know.
Or brewed, that's right. Yeah, that's the one thing. Yeah, by the way, don't put dry coffee or the grind. I've done that, though. That works, too, but it's just a mess.
You've
got to clean it off. But what?
To interrupt you for a second, I had a friend who would always – he loved vanilla, like French vanilla ice cream, and he would put this little topping of espresso grinds on it. And he would eat the French vanilla with the espresso grinds. So you know what? Some people might like the grinds on their food.
I saw that in a restaurant one time. Where was I? In Atlanta, Georgia, where they did that espresso grinds on top of it wasn't ice cream. It was some kind of pudding, yeah. But grape nut pudding or bread pudding. I think it was bread pudding, which I don't like either one.
But I love bread pudding.
Yeah, I know, and I don't. But my mother used to make bread pudding, and I got sick on it. It'd be graphic when I was a kid, and I was barfing up raisins and all kinds of stuff.
Being graphic.
So ever since then, I just have this thing about bread pudding. When I eat it, I think of those raisins being barfed back up, because she used to put bunches of raisins in hers, and I don't like bread pudding.
Well, I don't like raisins in bread pudding. I will admit that. I don't like raisins in bread pudding.
God, I get kind of queasy just talking about it.
Well, you don't like French toast. That's not normal.
Well, you know, French toast is kind of like bread pudding in my mind for some reason. I never, it's something about that syrup and the egg, and I don't know. It's just that whole concoction of putting bread and pudding and all that. I can eat a sandwich, but don't be putting eggs and syrup and gunk in my bread.
Gunk in my bread. Okay,
anyway,
we won't do that.
we went from coffee marinade to how the heck we got there, I don't know.
Can I segue with my food news?
Yes, go right ahead, because that was my next question. Laurie, do you have any food news?
I have something here. It says McDonald's seeks to out-latte Starbucks in the coffee war. McDonald's is counting on coffee to give sagging U.S. sales a jolt.
One
of the chains.
Time out. How old is that story? They've been selling coffee lattes for like a couple of years now.
No, they want to outdo them because it's not working.
Oh. I do like their coffee, by the way. Go ahead.
I know, you do, yeah. Old is that story? I hope it's not too old. You sent it to me in the food news. You didn't
I know,
read.
But it was like, you know, we're stepping back in time. They started selling coffee in there, and they have even a little barista things inside their stores and have for at least 2 years.
Yeah, well, the thing is that the sales are that they're falling, and they're trying to figure out how to ramp it up. Okay, now you killed my whole story.
Before you tell the McDonald's story, guess who's calling in?
Yay, Evan.
Yeah, Aaron's calling in, I believe. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, and what is up?
Onward
hello,
and upward.
Aaron.
That's our new thing today. Everything's up right now. Hey, I was picking on you before you called in. I got to clear things up. You know how you always pick on poor Laurie with her food news stories and how she reads every word? But I have to tell you, my dude, she actually gets her facts straight. Somebody told a story last week about marijuana cigarettes, and I'm not going to say who, but that person didn't have their story straight.
Every once in a while, every great once in a while, you have to put a story out there just to see if your counterparts actually do any research on their own.
And it's a great attention.
Oh.
So I was just testing you.
Oh, it was a setup. Okay.
It was just a setup to see if you actually knew anything about anything. And you,
well,
you
know, when you told the story, after the show was over, I went and looked it up. First thing I went to the stock page and said, okay, did their stock really go up, whatever you said, 9,000%? And it didn't. So I'm like, okay, this can't be right. He's lying, pulling our. So then I started looking and I went to Snopes. Snopes, is that how you say it? And Scopes.
Yes,
what is that? Snopes. And I found out the story
was a website, some kind of, right, there's some kind of a thing
well,
you can go to.
Well, Snopes just debunks urban legends and all the crazy stuff that's up there.
Well, thanks for that great news.
Yeah.
I think you really believed it yourself, but if you didn't, then that was a good joke.
Here's the problem is that I actually did. I never fall for any of those things. I never do. Because one of the things that I do is I go to Snopes and I look
right.
it up and I check to see
that's
if anything's available.
Okay. Okay.
So that's one of the things that I do, but I didn't. There were too many people talking about it, so it had to be real. So, yes, I did. I fall for it also. I did give bad information to our listeners, and that's, I deserve to be flogged.
Hey, that's so funny you use the word flogged. I use the word flogged today myself. How often do you hear flogged in within a four-hour period?
I can't believe you
said
that this morning.
That's what happens.
Well, what most people should be aware of, no matter what we say here on Great Ideas Radio,
don't
believe it.
only believe a third of the stuff that we talk about.
Exactly.
You have pretty good odds if you believe a third. Like anytime someone says beets are good, don't believe that.
Or bacon? Can you believe that?
You know, bacon definitely good.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, before you came on, we were getting ready to talk about. Well, Laurie's getting ready to tell a story about McDonald's getting in the coffee business, and
I'm
I think
done.
That happened
you
like 2 years
I'm
ago.
Done.
But go ahead.
Oh, you took well,
McDonald's
whole,
getting in
the
coffee business. They've had baristas inside of the McDonald's for what 4 years
what
now?
That's what you just said.
Something
oh my God,
like that.
You guys are on the same page.
So what exactly is the story that you're getting ready to tell us? Because that's what I'm saying. This
I
is
don't
like
want
old
to read
news.
It anymore. You guys
no,
keep
I want you to read it. Read it. I want you to
okay, does it include? Does it include the ability?
They're just
going to
ramp
buy.
Up the coffee effort after 5 years of trying
say,
to
go,
dig, you know.
Can we go buy a bag of McDonald's coffee now in the local grocery store?
Oh, is that what it is?
Like I can go buy a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I'm asking. I don't know. Like I can go buy a bag of Dunkin' Donuts coffee in the store. Can I buy a bag of McDonald's coffee in the store? Because if so, terrible. I'm one of the few.
Cindy, you love McDonald's coffee.
Yes, I do. But what's the story? Because is there something new they're going to do?
Well, no, but they're just saying after they want to ramp up the coffee effort after 5 years, I guess, you know, of trying to debut their McCafé menu and strategy. But they're saying that McDonald's is trying to look and feel more like Starbucks, but it's actually hurting them, not helping them, because the chain's competitive advantage is food, not beverages, and because making complicated coffee drinks slows down their service. That's kind of the gist of it.
So are they getting out of the coffee business?
Because you're poop. Well, no, this is what it says. As always, our priority is to provide our customers a great restaurant experience, a McDonald's.
By the way, this is what Grillion was waiting on. He was trying. He didn't want you to summarize the story. He wanted you to read it word for word. This is what he was waiting on. I know how his brain works. Summarize the story very well, Lori. I really enjoyed your summary.
Oh, gosh. Here's my last line. You ready?
Yeah.
Serving an exceptional cup of coffee along with great-tasting food has been and will continue to be a strong area of focus for McDonald's. That's
it? Thank you for that story.
So, folks, go out and buy some McDonald's coffee and support them.
Oh, my God. Well, that was fun. Anyway, Aaron, I'm going to take a quick little break with some music, and I don't know what your plans are. I know you're over there. You got wrestling matches going on again, so you're welcome to come.
Yeah, I'm running back in the gym right now, so I'm going to run back in the gym, and then I'm going to call you back in probably 10.
All right, and we'll be coming back with our guest. Our first guest, as I mentioned in the intro, they're in the ketchup business, but not the standard ketchup that you're used to. The company's called Chups, and it's pretty interesting what they're doing.
By the way,
we found them on, yes.
If I don't make it back in time to talk to the Chubbs people, let them know, first of all, that I have donated money to, yes, I think their video is the coolest video ever, and I want these guys to do well, and I buy Chubbs ketchup in the grocery store.
Well, they're listening,
and they do have
they're listening
a great
right
video.
Now, so they heard you, and I agree with you. It is a really cool video, and we'll get into it in a minute here when we get them on. But, yeah, I'll let them know in case they weren't listening. But everybody hang tight. We'll be right back in just a few minutes. I'm going to play a little JC Dawn and hang tight. We'll be back with the Chups people.
You never
we're back, and that was JC Dawn. By the way, check out JC Dawn on Facebook. She's got some great music, and she's also started her own talent agency with a lot of country music folks in Nashville, and great lady. And she's actually going to be coming back on again, I think, sometime in the near future, one of our favorite guests. So anyway, we were talking about, before we went to break, about ketchup. And this morning we have from Chuff's, both they're starting a ketchup revolution. I think we have both of them, maybe just one. But Matt and Corey Wallace, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys.
Hello.
How are you doing? Welcome to the show. So you guys are starting the ketchup revolution. Saw your new project on Kickstarter. And by the way, congratulations. I see you have met your goal. And I wanted to have you on the show to tell everybody about your new fruit ketchup and what your plans are. And I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of give us a background of how you got into it and a little bit about your product, and let our folks that are listening know all about Chuff's.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it. Yeah, I guess the whole idea came about maybe a year and a half ago. I'm not a chef, but I've always enjoyed cooking and kind of experimenting in the kitchen. And
he's really a good cook. He's very humble about it, but he's a very good cook.
We made burgers one night, and I wanted to kind of change, found a recipe for cherry ketchup and made some, and it was really good. And I guess it was kind of a one-off, and then maybe 6 months later, was just kind of thinking about it and, realized how static the ketchup market is, I guess. You know, there's tomato ketchup, and that's the only kind. And, I thought that, you know, the ketchup world could use some shaking up. So
we made it. Interesting. You actually, and I'll interrupt you for a second, but I was looking at your video, and you actually put some information in there that ketchup really wasn't originally tomato to begin with, was it?
Yeah, you know, we've done a lot of research, and ketchup has a really storied history. It started in Asia as a fish sauce, and it was adopted by British colonialists, and they brought it back to Britain, and they ended up making primarily walnut and mushroom ketchup, which sounds totally bizarre, but they eventually brought it to America and continued making it, and then started making it with different fruits that they had, kind of as a way to preserve some of their crops. If your fruit's going bad, you can just turn it into ketchup and use it, and you don't have to throw it out. So eventually Mr. Heinz came around and started making it with tomatoes. And I guess the rest is ketchup history after that. But
you a question, because I was going to do some research on it, and I didn't get a chance. But is ketchup like a word that Heinz came up with, or was back in the day it was always called ketchup? Do you have any idea where that name ketchup came from?
Yeah, ketchup as we know it is a derivation of the Asian word. From where it came from. I couldn't tell you how to pronounce it or, the sound is similar.
Okay.
So it's an Asian word as far as I know. And it's
and sometimes it's ketchup. And it's
cool. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen it actually a lot back in the day. I remember even on some of the bottles, it's big ketchup, C-A-T-S-U-P. And then I didn't know if ketchup was like Q-tips was a brand name or if it really was called ketchup way back when.
Yeah, it's a very old term that's been modified. As far as we know, there's no real difference between K-E-T-C-H-U-P and catsup, K-A-T-S-U-P. I think it's it sort of reflects where the word came from.
So you were playing around in the kitchen with fruits and decided that you wanted to take this and put it on your hamburger with the cherry, and then you decided you want to play around with some other concepts, and then from there you came up with the idea for your different products. You have, what, six different flavors right now, or is it five?
Well, we say we have 5 originals, and we've made more. Started making cranberry over the holidays, which actually was a really good find. It worked really well with seafood and oysters and shrimp. You can make a great cocktail sauce out of it. And you know, we started making it originally in the summer, and kind of found quickly that a lot of stone fruits are out of season in the winter, and you really can't
get them anywhere. So it's kind of turning into a seasonal thing, which is, you know, I think it's fine. I think you should be eating whatever's in season and use what you have. So, but it works with a lot of different fruits, and we're still kind of experimenting with it. So.
Well, now I see your video. You heard my sidekick Aaron mentioned before we went to break about you. It's a great little video you guys put together about your product and on your Kickstarter project, and you hit your goal, and I think your goal was 12,000, and now you're like, what, 13,500? Now you increased your goal to what, 15,000?
We've been funded, and thanks so much for the compliments. We had a lot of fun making the video, and yeah, I think it turned out really well. I guess Kickstarter suggests that if you hit your goal, then you can kind of make stretch goals, and you know, if you have other parts of your project that you want to fund, that you can kind of let people know what else you're gonna fund, you know, to keep them donating. But
you've got a website too. I'll mention. I can't always forget to mention these, but chupsitup.com is the name of your website.
Yeah, chupsitup. We wanted to get chups.com, but someone was
squatting on it. We'll get it eventually.
Someone's squatting on it, so we had to.
We might be able to buy it from them at some point.
It's worthwhile.
What are they using it for? Or are they just sitting there blank right now?
Nothing.
Nothing.
So it's still available to if we need it.
Yeah.
I kind of like Chups. I like Chups It Up anyway. It kind of has a better ring to it. I think Chups kind of, even though that is the product, your product name, I like the name Chups It Up as a website. So, you've got the funding, and you're taking it to the, my mind's gone blank, the place in Washington, D.C., the commercial kitchen company. What are they called?
Right,
Mission,
yeah.
Or?
It's called Union Kitchen.
Union Kitchen.
And it's
okay.
a commercial kitchen share space. So there's, I think, 7 or 8,000 square foot facility in D.C., kind of near Union Station. And there are 40 or 50 other small food business companies that operate out of there, either part-time or full-time. And, you know, it was the best solution for us to get into commercial space. We're very small-time still, and is the best way for us to be able to start selling chups in restaurants and in grocery stores.
Yeah, and they have a really great community too. They're very, like, their whole mission is to bring these like-minded food entrepreneurs together and give them the tools they need to be successful, because, you know, getting a business off the ground is very, very hard, and it really takes a lot of support. So we felt like not only are we going to be getting the space, but it's really just going to be this whole supportive environment, and the networking is just unparalleled, I think. So
yeah.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting project and a concept. And have you got any stores or anybody that's interested and said they want to bring the product in yet?
We're in the process of doing that now. You know, now that we know we will be in Union Kitchen soon, and we can start focusing on talking to the people that we can work with.
Yeah, we have a couple restaurant groups that are interested, and so that's great because they have more than one restaurant each, and then a catering company. So we do have a couple people that are ready and waiting for us to bring them some product, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, it's a really cool concept, and you started a ketchup revolution like your Kickstarter program says, and everybody who wants to find out more about what they're doing, go to Chups It Up. Also, go to chupsitup.com and go to Kickstarter. You can find them if you punch in a Ketchup Revolution. You can still donate because I think you still have about 30 days left on your project.
Yeah, we've got a while. We hit our goal in about 2 weeks, so we're
great.
We'll be around for a little bit more.
Well, keep it up, and it's a great idea. As a matter of fact, I'm looking forward to trying out the product, and I think you're on to something. You're right. I mean, as far as condiments go, ketchup's kind of been standing out there all by itself, so good luck with the project, and I hope we see your name in lights one day with the big, you know, up there you'll be standing next to the Heinz people with your chups, and keep us posted how it's progressing.
We absolutely will. Yeah, thanks. We hope it'll catch on and hope to get into some
stores here. We might give you a call when we go to the Cambridge boat races this summer.
Yeah, I'm sorry, your phone, we missed you. What'd you say again?
I said we might give you a call when we go to the Cambridge boat races this year.
There you go.
Yeah, we go every summer.
Hey.
Corey's family lives out there. So.
Hey, Corey, we'll catch up with you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us. Everybody check out the website, chupsitup.com, and we're going to take a quick break and be bringing on our next guest. I want to switch over to our singing guest and play one of his songs, Lucas Jack. It's called Don't Get Carried Away. Everyone, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Don't get carried away on a plane. Don't get caught in a miracle maze. 'Cause there's no magic in me. If I had it, you'd see by now. But I'm grounded. Kurt's got nothing to do with his time. And love's got nothing to do with his wife. One more family tree on a planet of concrete. It's crowded.
Dr. Barbecue, and I'm here to tell you about the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience. The versatility of the Big Green Egg is unmatched as a grill, a smoker, and even an outdoor oven. Sear steaks at 800 degrees, slow smoke a perfect slab of ribs, or even bake a crispy pizza or a pecan pie. That's why I cook on the Big Green Egg, the ultimate cooking experience.
And as the man says, check out BigGreenEgg.com and get yourself a Big Green Egg. You can find yourself a dealer. You just go to their website, punch in your zip code, and you will be able to find a Big Green dealer near you. And, Laurie, I haven't even told you this, but I had a thought earlier. I think for the Super Bowl party, I'm going to grill some hot thighs on the Big Green Egg. So we'll have something to take to the party.
Ooh, yeah, we forgot to talk about that after our neighbor invited us over.
Yes, their neighbor invited us over, so I guess we better bring a covered dish of some sort. So I'm going to make hot dogs on the big green egg and hope they turn out. Last time I did that, they didn't turn out so hot, and that's not that's a pun. But
well, you put cinnamon. No cinnamon this time.
No, that was the wings that you didn't like. These are the thighs. Matthew, you weren't here when I made the thighs, now that I think about it. I don't believe you were here, but I'm going to make, you call them shanks. They're not, you call them chicken shanks, but I'm going to make chicken thighs, and I'm going to spice them up. So instead of hot wings, they'll be hot thighs. Anyway, on the Big Green Egg, so check out biggreenegg.com, and we're supposed to have our next guest, Chef Michael Midley.
Oh, boy.
And the phone's not lighting up, so Sunblessed, if you're out there listening, you need to crank up the guest chef Michael and get him on here ASAP. It's his time. So while we're waiting for Michael Midley to come on, he's a Top Chef Season 2 contestant and also recently on Cutthroat Kitchen, and if he the number, we'll be talking to him about that. So let me see here. Guess what? That's why I have Laurie around, just to fill in when we have nobody showing up. So you got any more stories, or do I need to make up something about Lay's potato chips or Ritz crackers or Doritos? The only reason I'm saying that because I'm looking at them. Do you have any more stories?
Oh, you didn't mention the Snyder's bacon cheese I bought you yesterday.
Oh, man, those things are good. The Snyder's.
Aren't they?
What, the bacon
a little bit
cheese.
For $3, but it's worth it.
What are they called? What are those things called again? Roll-ups or something? What are they?
Snyder's, they're pretzels, but they add flavors to them. I got the bacon,
excellent.
The bacon cheddar.
And I was pigging out on them last night. They're good.
I know. Me too. With
and Lay's potato chips too, but that's another story. I mean, you
that's
cannot
given.
Have.
Yeah,
I mean,
always have Lay's in the house.
Did you hear me sneaking them this morning?
Were you really? No. Are you too cute or what?
Oh, you were upstairs getting ready, whatever your early things you were doing up there. I was sneaking Lay's potato chips. I mean, my God. It's just like that big yellow bag doesn't have a chance around me.
It does. Me neither. I confess. Because I just have to have my picky pick at night, you know, chips and cheese.
But you know what? We really haven't eaten a lot of picky pick stuff like Lay's and all
no,
these things.
No, that's why
Doritos
you lost weight.
So
I look like
I know.
A little peanut.
I know. I lost, geez, in the past
pounds.
Week.
Didn't
what, another, I'm like, another 4 pounds, yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you
it,
want
isn't it interesting when I go to New Jersey to visit my family, you lose weight and then I lose weight because I'm running around like crazy over there. And you're just like, you don't have me to join you in picky picks, so you kind of just have a little wine by yourself.
Well, last night you rolled in last night, what, about 8:30 or so? And then you stopped at Walmart on the way, and you got bags of Doritos, Ritz crackers, those whatever those pretzel things are with the cheddar and bacon, and you got Lay's potato chips, you got wine, cheese.
Well, that's the wine is a given. I mean, I stopped in New Jersey and got that. I knew I needed a bottle of wine by the time I got home.
So you grow all this stuff, you know. I'm sitting here, me and the three. Oops, that was a dryer going off, by the way. If you heard that, I'm sitting here while you're gone with you know me, the three dogs, and a bowl of soup. And then you show up with all the picky picks, as you call them.
Did you notice the dogs were loving it? They were getting cheese, and they were chewing on the chips.
Well, you brought them treats too. And by the way, folks, on a side note, if you buy treats for your dog. Oh, my God, what did it cost? It was like $30 worth of treats you bought?
Yes.
Something like that.
$30. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got to have their pepperonis. They got to have their marrows. They got to have their raw hides. I mean, my God, it's like you got to feed them filet mignon. We could have had filet mignon if it didn't have the dogs.
We could have.
Anyway, so do you have any stories?
I guess your chef isn't calling in yet.
I don't see anybody
oh,
lighting up the board, so just me, you, and blank screen.
Me and you and a dog named Boo. Okay, green tea. Here we go. This was a little interesting story for people who are on blood pressure pills. Green tea is the healthy choice for many people with high blood pressure.
By the way, I'm gonna try to sit here and not interrupt you while you tell a story.
Oh, no, please, interrupt. It's fun. I'm used
no,
to it.
I interrupt you enough. Go ahead.
No. I love when you interrupt. A study found that green tea could actually stop.
But I promise I'll be quiet. Go ahead. Tell your green tea story.
our life, they'd never believe it. We just crack up
no,
the whole time.
No,
they
wouldn't.
No. They'd be throwing up because I'm always hanging on you.
Read your story.
Wait, I got to just tell the real quick story real quick. Am I like Zuzu from Wonderful Life? Remember how when the father finally gets all happy, he comes back and everything's perfect.
No,
and he's dangling, wait, he's dangling on his back while he's running up the stairs. That's me with you.
No, you always talk about stuff that nobody knows anything about. No one's watched Wonderful Life since 1947, and no one knows who Zuzu is.
Zuzu's petals. Everyone knows Zuzu's petals from Wonderful Life. You wouldn't be normal if you didn't know that.
Well, I'm not normal.
But anyway, that's me. I'm always hanging on you. It's really cute, but you act Mr. Like you don't care. But
go back to green tea.
Okay. The blood pressure drug called. See, I don't, knock on wood, I don't take any pills, but people who know pills would know this. Nadolol? The blood pressure drug Nadolol is less effective after drinking green tea. So this is very serious stuff here, because people would think that they're helping themselves if they're on blood pressure pills and drinking green tea. But the researchers advise that those taking this drug should avoid green tea. And they warned that the popular drink may also dilute the effect of some other medicines. I'll spell it. It's called N-A-D-O-L-O-L, like laugh out loud, Nadolol.
Okay.
The warning is particularly pertinent to blood pressure patients, as some may switch to green tea in order to lower their intake of caffeine. But in addition, some studies have credited green tea with lowering blood pressure. It's just that it counteracts if you're on it and you're also drinking green tea. So be very careful. Do some research. Talk to your doctor. So there you go. I'm trying to be like Aaron. I'm trying to more or less not read, kind of talk about it instead of reading
it. No, that was good.
Thank you.
I never read anything, as you can tell, so God knows what I'm going to say. I don't even know what I'm going to say half the time, the three-quarters.
Yeah, see, people don't realize this. They think it's all a skit. You don't want to know anything. You want it all off
the cuff.
Yep.
I don't know anything.
I got a question.
Is the czar's number, does this start with 683?
683? I don't know.
Yeah, an 804 number. Was it 683?
Yes, it's 804. He's an 804, yes.
Well, then I thought that was him, but I wanted to make sure it wasn't like a stalker. Well, actually, the czar is kind of like a stalker, but looks like the czar is calling in, and I also see our guest is calling in, but I'll give the czar his 3 minutes of fame if this is him. Good morning, Wine Czar. How are you?
Good morning. I didn't expect you to punch me in. I mean, I took your message and told you to ignore me. I just dialed in to listen, but it's great to say hi and talk to you guys. What's going on?
Hi, my BMF. People don't know you're my BMF.
I wanted to say something about blood pressure. I just heard the tail end of your little article about blood pressure. Let me tell you something. Grill, you raised my blood pressure so much that there isn't a pill out there that could possibly take care of me.
It's all in good fun. You know that, Mr. Wine Czar.
Hey, did I miss the chef that was on Cutthroat or
no?
That,
actually,
he's
on next, and I think he's waiting in the wings. I know you wanted to hear the story, so I won't hang up on you like I normally do. I'll put you on hold, and I'm going to bring on. Well, heck, you can stay on. You want to be part of the show? You always do. You always say no. I'm just here.
Stay on.
I'm just calling in to listen. I didn't want to be on the show. Yeah, right. All right, so I'm going to leave you on here, Brian. So you're live, so don't say anything stupid, and I'm going to bring on our next guest. Chef Michael Midgley, and he, as Brian just said, and we said earlier, he is a contestant on Top Shelf. And he must be driving in a car on season two, and also Cutthroat Kitchen. I think this is him. Good morning, Chef.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, you must be driving somewhere.
Yeah, I'm driving. I'm on my way to work. Sorry, I'm a little late.
That's quite all right. Welcome to the show.
Federation Network.
Thanks for having me.
That's quite all right. So I wanted to have you on the show, and I'll be perfectly honest. I don't have TV because we live out in the sticks, and we decided not to buy TV and buy all the cable crap they got out here. So you have to tell me. I understand you were on Top Chef. I know about Top Chef, but you were also a contestant on Cutthroat Kitchen. So tell me more about both things. When were you on Top Chef, and tell me about Cutthroat Kitchen?
So I was on Top Chef in 2006, 2007, season two, and that was when we were in L.A. And then just recently, I was on the Food Network's Cutthroat Kitchen, and yeah, they made me cook in this little kitchen, man, and I won. It's pretty cool.
You won?
Woo!
Oh, really? No. Okay, so
won.
See, I'm stupid, so I don't even know what it is. So what is Cutthroat Kitchen?
So Cutthroat Kitchen, it's kind of like the show Chopped on the Food Network. You know, they bring in four chefs. They, you know, they tell you you're going to cook, like, chicken parmesan, and they give you a minute to go run through the pantry and grab all the items you can get. And it's kind of like, I don't know, it's like everyone's just scrambling in this small area. And then you come back to your place where you cook, then they give you $25,000. And with that money, you can, they auction off, like, these sabotages. Like, so, for example, the chicken parmesan challenge, they give you $25,000, and then they offer up this challenge where you could make, if you win, you can make somebody take off 15 minutes from the cook time. You get 30 minutes. Or you can make them use chicken from a can, and they take your real chicken that you took from the pantry. So, you know, and then, so they say that starts at $500, and you know, I think it went for like $5,000 or something like that.
Right.
And anyways, if you win, whatever money you have left, that's the money you get to take home.
So what did you end up taking home?
$13,500.
Good for you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
My small chunk of change.
And mm-hmm. That's not bad. That'll buy a lot of chicken in the can.
Yeah,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Filet sentient, sliders.
So do you actually have a catering business too? Is it BitchlyCatering.com?
Yeah, I have a catering business, but I'm the chef at this place, Ernie's Food and Spirits in Manteca, California.
Okay.
And so I pretty much just run the catering with the restaurant. So.
And you?
Yeah.
And your experience is you're actually a trained chef. Where did you go to school?
So I went to the California Culinary Academy in San Francisco.
Okay.
And, you know, I've been cooking since I was 14, 35, done, you know, been in all kinds of different kitchens, different scenarios.
Cool. Now, I've got our wine czar listening in, and he's on the show here with us, and wine czar, you said something about cutthroat wine. What is that?
Oh, I was making a joke. You know, we're going to have
Oh, you're making a
kitchen.
Joke. Sorry.
Have,
I didn't get – sorry.
Cutthroat wine. but you know what we could do something like that, substitute real wine for big kahuna and you know, and make someone actually tell you what's in the bottle.
Oh, okay. So in other words, it was a joke I didn't get. So let's go back to Chef Michael. So, so Chef Michael, what's going on now? You got any big plans? Has Food Network been knocking on your door?
No. You know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they'll call back. Sometimes, like on Chop, they bring back past winners, you know, and they do like all-star stuff. I don't know if they'll do that with this show.
Oh, that'd be fun.
It's only in the second season, so, you know, I have no idea what's going to happen. I know the exposure's good. It's a great platform. I have an ebook that I have coming out next month, like Easy Recipes by Michael Midgley.
Oh, cool.
So you can get it on your phone. And so, yeah, that's almost wrapped up. And then, yeah, you know, the restaurant, it's helped out the restaurant Manteca a lot, Ernie's Food and Spirits. We've been really busy.
So you're like you're like a movie star now, right?
Yeah, right. Far from it, man. I work in Manteca, dude. You know, I live in Stockton. I'm far away from all the you know flashing lights and celebrities.
No, I kid. But congratulations in winning the cutthroat competition, and good luck with whatever else comes from that. And everybody
well,
else.
I'm on your
you
show
have,
now, man.
Hey,
big
well,
time,
hey,
you've hit
the big times now. You ought to be proud.
I know. No, man, I'm stoked, and I'm glad you guys had me on. Sorry, I was a little late. I'm three kids, man. Getting out the door today was a little rough. Had to drop them off the babysitter. And,
Not a problem. No, we had the pleasure having you on. And you have a Facebook page. People can find you on Facebook too, right?
Yeah. So I have like a Chef Michael Midgley page. And, you know, you ever have any questions about food or recipes or just what's going on, man, feel free to hit me up.
All right, well,
come
cool.
By the restaurant.
Thank you for joining us, and drive careful on your way to work. You know, in California, you're not supposed to use your phone and drive at the same time, but don't tell that Tick Ruby behind you.
Yeah, man, I got the hands-free going on, you know?
Well, thanks for calling in, and everybody check out his website, which is midgleycatering.com, and that's, we've got a link here on our radio show. Also, check out his Facebook page. Go check out his new e-recipes and look for him in the future. And congratulations on Cutthroat Kitchen, and you're welcome to come back. Let us know when something big happens again. Let us know.
Yeah, I will. I'll keep you guys posted.
All right, great. Everyone, check out his website. We appreciate Chef Michael checking in. And Wines Are, before I let you go, I'm having some technical difficulties here, of course, normal on Blog Talk Radio.
That's better.
Before I let you go, did you have anything that you would like to share with us as far as the wine world goes?
Well, I don't know. What, you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and people often ask what, you know, what do you recommend for Valentine's? And, you know, the first reaction is buy what your significant other loves, you know.
Aww.
And forget about whether it goes with chocolate, it goes with this, it goes with that. You just get something that's great to celebrate the moment. You know, if you want to look for fruit or chocolate pairings, you know, I love heavy reds to go with chocolate, Zinfandel, Malbec, things like that.
There you go.
I don't like anything too sweet to go with chocolate, because then you kind of defeat the purpose of letting the chocolate shine, you know, on its own.
Right.
But there's some nice sparkling reds from the north of Italy that you can get that are really kind of sweet and then tart, which are fun. But again, it's like, hey, get what you love. Get what your significant other loves and have a good time. It's all about
Laurie's going to have a hard time finding the big kahuna here on the East Coast. So, Laurie, you can't get what I love, but pretty much whatever you bring me, I will love, my love.
I was going to say, I don't need the wine. I'm drunk on you, Brilliant.
Oh, boy. Hey, and now Aaron's back. Hey, Ron's back to add into the party. Aaron, do you have anything to add?
Yeah, is it Valentine's weekend or something? What in
the
world is going on with the show? I know, what in the world is going on with the show?
Well, it's Valentine's Day every year when you have brilliant around.
Love and chocolate wine love and red sweet love, and I don't know what's going on today.
I don't know. Well, guys, I'm going to take another break. And are you around for a while, Mr. Aaron, or you got to go back and wrestle some more kids?
The wrestling never stops, but I've got a couple of minutes.
All right, well, hang tight. And Winesar, thank you for your Valentine suggestions. Everyone go out and buy your significant other the wine of their choice, whatever they love. It'll always be a hit. And I'm trying to get my system to work. And as you can tell, I'm talking really low because
you guys have a great weekend. Have a great Valentine's.
You too.
I'll speak to you before then. And, hey, just celebrate life.
Exactly. You too.
You know
thank
what,
you, Wanda.
That's what we're going to do. Perfect
glad
work
I
here,
guys. Talk to my bro.
Bye-bye.
All right. All right, guys. It's working again. Thank you, Brian. And I'll be right back here. We'll play a little Lucas Jack, who is our next guest. I love this guy's music. And the song's called You Belong to the City. We'll be right back.
More and more, it's a cameo. You phone it in like we ought to know you were beautiful when you were young. In and out of condition there's nothing wrong, but there's nothing staring back at you when the morning comes. Oh, you live alone and you sleep around. You settle up, never settle down for anyone. Like that's the plan. You try to blend with the younger scene. You change. often. You get them done in your shiny shoes just to take a cab around the block. There's a man to watch the door. There's a girl to sweep the floor. Everything, yeah, that's all you got. But you stay alive another day. Another way to blow it all off the town. You pour it out as you watch it burn. You live it up till it's way too late to live it down. Oh, you belong to the city now. You try to escape, but you're still too strong. And you waited too long. You stay alive another day. Oh, another way to blow it all on the town. You pour it out just to watch it burn. You live it up till it's way too late to live it down. Oh, you belong to the city now.
That was Lucas Jack. You belong to the city. He'll be joining us in just a few minutes. I love that guy's music. I guess I don't know where he's been hiding out at, but that, he has that sound. Remember the show, was it Friends? He kind of has that same sound as the guy who sang that. That's on who sang that. Are my crowd still here with me, or did I lose them?
Friends. Everybody left you.
I know, I'm sitting out here, everybody's lights on, but nobody's at home. I was wondering if they were still there, but I like the guy's music. He'll be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. And Laurie, are you back, or did I lose you?
I'm here.
Oh, there she is. Blog Talk Radio is giving me a fit today, as you can tell, but we're working. So, Laurie, I want to ask if you got a quick story. That's always a funny question.
Oh, here we go. Oh, boy.
I'm waiting for our guest, and do you have a quick story?
I wasn't prepared.
Let's see.
I do. Okay, I think I do. Okay, into the already muddy debate over the benefits of organic food comes new research that suggests organic milk has more heart-healthy fatty acids than conventional milk. The study was based on tests. You're going to say something about this. The study was based on tests of nearly 400 samples of organic and conventional milk over an 18-month period. It is a bold counterclaim to last year's widely discussed Stanford study that found little evidence supporting the idea that organic food was more nutritious.
And this was brought to you by the organic industry and all their sponsors. I'm sorry.
You know who owns the organic? You know who owns the organic council? Dairy farmers.
Probably so. Okay, so now they're saying first of all, so organic milk comes from organic cows, which I guess eat organic grass grown on organic fields. I suppose, right?
Correct.
I guess so.
All it is it's grass that hasn't been fertilized, no process, no injections, no nothing. It's just organic. The only difference is the grass hasn't been fertilized. From what I understand,
okay.
And I might be wrong,
but
that's
not true. The cows are fertilizing the grass.
The cow, yeah, but no artificial fertilizers.
Oh, okay.
Natural fertilizer.
Natural.
So,
natural, yeah.
So, but this might be me giving bad info again, but from what I understand, the milk still goes through the same process after it's harvested from the cattle in order to, I mean, it still goes through the pasteurization process. There's no, so the only milk that's really good for you is raw milk. I mean, in all honesty, that gets you all the acids and the fats and the good things that, I mean, raw milk is where it's at. But organic milk goes through the same process that your regular vitamin D milk in the store goes through. So I don't see how it's got any different stuff in it.
Me either. Do you drink raw milk?
Do I? No, I don't drink any milk.
No, I'm not
dairy
a raw milk fan to begin with, but I have a problem drinking raw milk. It's got to be pasteurized, homogenized, energized, whatever they do to it.
But I grew up on raw milk. Like, we literally, from the time I was 6 years old, I was out milking cows at 6 years old, and we had raw milk in the fridge. And that's just, I grew up on raw milk. And there was nothing better than skimming off a layer of cream and pouring that thick, creamy, delicious milk. I mean, it's the best taste of milk in the world. But I'm not a...
Wasn't it too thick, though?
Huh?
Wasn't it, like, thick?
What?
Too thick, though?
No, you put it in the fridge overnight,
no?
The cream, you take the layer of cream off, you pour the milk. It's no thicker than vitamin D milk, really. I mean, milk.
I've never had it.
Laurie, you know,
yes?
That the ham soup I made, when I took it out of the refrigerator and that big, thick lump of fat that was on top before I put it, that's what it looks like when you take it out of raw milk. The cream comes to the top, and you have to scrape it off.
Okay.
But the cream is good for it. Cream is good for your coffee. It's good for everything else in the world. Now, there's nothing wrong with the cream. You just, if you want to drink milk, you just let it sit. You skim the layer of cream off, or your fresh milk. It's awesome. But again, dairy is not part of how I typically eat with the whole trying to be paleo. Although the paleo thing hasn't been going real well.
I saw your sandwiches recently.
I've been on a sandwich quest, man. What else do you do? You have to start. And
that's
and I
okay. Everybody goes along
to
go back on, as long as you kind of stick to it a little bit here and there.
I still eat fairly clean, but you know, I've got to find the craziest sandwich that is also delicious.
Yep.
And the ones you've had on Facebook the last couple of days have been crazy, but they did look good. So they're not all paleo,
yeah,
but they've
definitely been crazy and interesting. But I can tell you this. The breakfast sandwich that I made the other day with the peanut butter, the avocado, the spinach, the egg.
No way.
I didn't see it. I put bacon. So it's peanut butter, avocado, bacon, spinach, and egg. I will probably never eat another breakfast sandwich again. I kid you not. That was the best breakfast sandwich I have ever had.
Wouldn't the peanut butter flavor overpower everything you just named, or did you just
take
a tad of it out there?
No, it all goes, the bacon and the peanut butter. The reason you're adding the spinach and the egg is for the protein and the greens. And that's really the reason that the spinach and egg is it.
And the bacon and avocado sounds good, but the peanut butter on the top of it would seem like, why did you do that?
Well, you're putting that in, the avocado just adds to the creaminess of the peanut butter. But the avocado, peanut butter, and bacon with the egg and spinach, that combination of the sweet, salty, all together on the bread.
I could get it sweet and salty, but I don't know what the everything else. I don't know.
Every time I saw the post, peanut butter in there, I have to admit I had that little little taste in the back of your throat where you have to throw up a little bit in your mouth. That's the kind of feeling I had. But then
when I first heard about this sandwich, I had the same thing. So I had to make it for myself because I had to know. And
how much peanut butter
peanut butter spread over the toast. Not super thick, nothing crazy, just a little bit of peanut butter spread over the toast. Enough to hold the avocado in place.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I told him was he should have added arugula instead of spinach. I think it would have been better.
Oh, yeah.
You are insane. Arugula and beet.
Arugula and beef would have made it. That's right, would have made it the best. We got our guest here, and he's probably sitting back thinking, "Oh my God, I'm going to go on these guys talking about peanut butter and egg sandwiches." But we got Lucas Jack calling in. We just played a couple of his songs. Great, great talent, and I'm just really impressed with his music. And I love what I've heard so far. And if this thing is working, Lucas should be joining us. Good morning, Lucas.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you loud and clear. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, great. We've been listening to your music before you came on here. I really love the music. And where you been hiding at, dude? Because I saw you on Reverb Nation, and I said, I got to get this guy on the show. And have you been in the music world for quite a while?
Well, I've been playing music my whole life, but I've only really been pursuing it as a I guess, profession now for about 2 years. I was a lawyer in Chicago for many years, and I played in bands. And I, you know, of course, played solo shows and dueling piano bars, and I always kind of played music. But 2 years ago, I left that and left Chicago, and I moved to San Antonio and started playing my piano everywhere.
Well, it's great, really great stuff, and I really enjoy your music, and you've got quite a set of pipes, and you said you were a lawyer, so what kind of law did you specialize in? We might need your help.
Seriously.
I helped rich people deal with going broke, basically. No, I did bankruptcies and commercial litigation.
When you said rich people, that counted us out.
You'd be surprised at how poor rich people can be in the end.
Really?
Everybody goes broke.
You got in, you did piano bars and all that. And I saw your video, your YouTube video, and I posted it on my page, on the Facebook page last night. And that was, it's a very good video. And I think you just entered that into a contest.
I've entered into a lot of contests. I'm trying to cast a wide net, trying to get some traction. I feel like I'm a little behind behind my colleagues, my contemporaries who have been, you know, on their fifth album and they've got a big fan base. I'm really, really helping it, trying to catch up and trying to get my music out there. And people like you are really helping. I appreciate it.
Well, you're a late bloomer, and I would say that I really enjoy your music, and I can see where you're going places. In fact, I passed along your name and your page and some of your music to some of the folks we know in the music business, and I wouldn't be surprised if you might get a phone call from some folks. And it's really good stuff. And I'm going to go ahead and play another one of your songs, and then we'll come back and chat about what some of your future plans are. And I'll say, by the way, are you a foodie?
You know what? My wife is a really, really into foodie. She does like the America's Test Kitchen stuff, so the great thing is that I have benefited from her being really into cooking, but I don't myself. I just eat it.
You just eat it. Well, hey, everybody's got to eat. I always say everybody's a foodie because everybody's got to eat. So that's you're a foodie one way or another. So we'll play your song "Paralyzed" and we'll come back and chat a little bit more with Lucas Jagger. Everybody, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Paralyzed in the pouring rain, right outside my own front gate. I'm leaving today, it's what I always say, but I never seem to go. Once again, I just push on through, up the stairs to my two bedrooms. We live in the city where we all assume that it passes for a home, but her dad still reminds me we don't know. With her t-shirts on, that's how far our love is gone. Our friends all tell us we should both move on, but we're tangled up too tight. We're paralyzed in several ways. We both got kids of our own these days, and they're making it harder to walk away, but we're both long gone inside. How'd we get so old at 35? Oh, give me some kind of love that I can hold. The promises, they don't seem to keep. Oh, give me some kind of love that makes me know that it's strong enough to hold. Everybody's waiting on the next big thing. Nothing's big enough. If you work hard, they tell you God will see. But I don't see a goddamn thing. He wound the wheels and then he walked away. When he's tired of love. I can hold. mind and try to go back to way back when we loved like that. But where it's gone, it won't come back. No matter what you try, but we both give it one last shot. The spark is there, but the fire is not. We'd be just fine if we could just get it hot. 'Cause we've been frozen quite a while.
That was Lucas Jack, his song Paralyzed. We have Lucas Jack joining us this morning, and great, great music. You can find out more about him at lucasjackmusic.com. So, Lucas, what is some of your future plans? You got anything lined up in any more big piano bars or concerts?
Yeah, I have a lot coming up. I'm coming out with a new EP, and I'm hoping to be in March. That's going to be a bunch of new songs. Taking a tour through the Midwest in May. We're going to Oklahoma City and St. Louis and Chicago and Kalamazoo, Michigan. A couple shows in Chicago, actually. So we're doing a little Midwest run. Got a couple of music videos that we just finished, and we're going to be releasing those in the next month or so.
Cool.
Just writing a lot of music and trying to make this music thing happen.
Now, your EP that's coming out in March, is that they find that on your website, or can they also find it on the other, like, music locations on the Internet?
Sure, yeah. I'll release it, I'm sure, to all the, you know, Amazon and iTunes and Spotify and RDO and Pandora. I'm everywhere great music can be found. but, yeah, I'll definitely post about it. It'll be on my website. Lucas Jack Music is definitely the best way to stay up to date.
Now, I'm really impressed with the music, and you got a great sound, and I consider myself a wannabe Simon Cowell, and I have an ear for music, and they all laugh at me, but everybody has to go through the grillet check before they come on the show. But I really enjoyed your music when I saw you on Reverb Nation. Now, your Reverb Nation, I think you were up the top of that category, right?
Yeah, I'm fortunate to be the number one pop band in San Antonio, and that's pretty cool. And I'm actually the number 4 or 5 overall band of all genres in San Antonio. I don't know what that means, but it's
sounds good.
It's really nice.
Sounds
it's really nice to have that recognition, you know.
And you said how long you been doing this now?
Well, I mean, I've really only been doing it a couple of years full time, like full throttle, really every day. It's all I do is book shows, write songs. But I've been writing songs and playing music, you know, my whole life. So in college, I played at piano bars, and I've been making money playing music for a long time, but never really pursuing it. It's because I did a lot of covers. I spent a lot of years playing covers and not playing my own original music. But now I'm really going after the original stuff.
Well, it's really good stuff, and keep us posted as things move along. I think you're on the right track, even though you say you're a late bloomer. You're blooming fast, so. Keep it up and keep us posted, and I wish you the best of luck, and congratulations on being number one on Reverb Nation and number one in San Antonio, wherever you said that, Matt.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much, and, you know, my daughter's first birthday is today, so we're going to have a little fiesta for her in a minute.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday. Cool. Well, good luck to you.
Yeah.
Keep posted on your career, and you're always welcome to come back on the show if you want to introduce any new music and let our fans hear more what you got. You come on, just let me know.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
All right, thank you. Everybody, check out his website. It's lucasjackmusic.com. We thank Lucas for joining us. And, Laurie, we got a few minutes here, and I'm going to put you on the spot one more time. Do you have any more food news? but I don't.
I'm trying to think. What's a good, let's see here.
Hey, did you hear they're coming up with marijuana cigarettes? that was last week.
Hey, not to give Sun Blessed a plug. She sent me some really good articles.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have a chance with my busy schedule all week to go and read them all and, you know, check them all out for you. So I'll have to do a makeup on next week.
Well,
but, yeah, I found something on bacon.
Oh, on bacon. Well, hey, you got to talk about bacon. We usually talk about
well, hey.
Why even think twice? What did you find out
I
about
know.
Bacon?
I was scrolling down here to see what I had, and I said, oh, wait, it was bacon. Okay. You ready?
I'm always ready. I was born ready.
What? Yes, you are. You are always ready. U.S. bacon prices are poised to retreat from an all-time high as the Fed that put the meat into everything from muffins to milkshakes declines, and then the pork supply rebounds after last year's historic drought. Well, here we go. Did you know that A&W says it was the first chain to serve a bacon cheeseburger in 1963?
No, I did not know that. I've never eaten at A&W. I've never even wanted to eat at A&W, and I've passed a few in my travels, but 1963?
Yeah. It doesn't seem like it's been a cheeseburger bacon around for that long.
I don't remember
bacon on my cheeseburgers, I don't know, maybe to like the 90s, I would think.
Yeah, I know. I was just thinking,
right?
Maybe, I think, I remember Burger King coming out with it. Probably, you're right. It was probably in the 90s, but I didn't know.
That's what I remember.
Like I said, I've never been to an A&W, never really wanted to. I guess A&W will never be a sponsor for us, but
that. Well, it says in the past 2 decades, fast food restaurants started adding more items with bacon in their menus, and frozen pre-cooked bacon made it easier to eat at home. So 44% of Americans eat bacon in a 2-week period. We eat bacon like hot cheese.
Say that again. 44% do
44%
what?
Of Americans say they eat bacon in a 2-week period. What are we? How often do we
eat
bacon? Well,
I guess we're pigs because we eat it like probably at least 5 days a week.
Do you think we eat that? Well, yeah, because you're putting food and stuff. I would say 4 on average, maybe 4 times a week. I don't know about 5. But
bacon, you're not looking. So maybe you do 4, but I'm like 5 or 6. But anyway, so the premise of this story, if I remember correctly, because I wasn't listening a minute ago, was that the price of bacon is going down, you say?
Can I finish my story before you start jumping?
Okay.
Fine dining has embraced bacon as well, and often artisanal varieties. Bacon has become something chefs are expected to put on that plate to add value, said a New York-based restaurant consultant who has advised hotel companies, casinos, and universities. So, in a survey of the U.S. chefs by the National Restaurant Association, 60% said bacon-flavored chocolate would be yesterday's news, but still, 64% are calling bacon a hot trend, and it's up 60% from last year's survey. So they're trying to say that bacon's out, but it's really not out because 60% are still saying it's a hot trend.
Okay. So did you answer my question yet?
No. Here we go.
All I'm worried about is how much bacon's going to cost me. That's all I'm worried about.
I thought you were going to say onward and upward, but you said, oh, I'm not going to say onward and upward.
All I'm worried about is the cost of bacon. Is it going up or is it going down?
Here we go. Bacon sales at U.S. supermarkets and other retailers rose 5.8% to $3.84 billion in the 52-week period. There's your answer.
Okay. Are you done?
Yes.
You still didn't answer my question. Anyway, the bacon we buy from Walmart, my favorite shopping place, is that black label Hormel.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. It's expensive, but good stuff. We were buying that cheap bread, but it was mostly fat and less bacon. So I had to compromise and go get the good stuff because that other stuff was just like nothing. If you pull it off, it'd be like one little tiny piece of red, and the rest would be all white fat. So I realized we weren't getting real bacon. I don't know what we were getting. We were getting fat.
I was scared of it. But as far as bacon itself going up the price, I don't know.
Well, thank you for that information. Okay, well.
I have one. Wait, do I have a second? One last line.
Oh, okay.
I scrolled down. I saw there was one more line. The use of bacon is getting more bizarre when they saw it being added to cocktails. There you go.
I did see that. Bacon martini. Someone had that on Facebook.
No, somebody posted a Bloody Mary and had a stick of bacon in it.
Well, that makes sense, too. That sounds good.
I know.
Wrap it around the piece of celery.
I know.
Somebody was making bacon pancakes today. I saw that online, too. They would take some fine bacon in.
Yeah.
Well, it looked, I won't say what it looked like, but
it
was pouring the bacon batter
on
top of the bacon. Yeah, it didn't look
good.
Well,
you have bacon on the side when you go to a diner with your pancakes, so, but why put it in with the batter?
Remember bacon bits?
Yes, I did.
I hated those things.
So did I.
They were made out of soy. I don't think they weren't even made out of bacon. They were made out of like soybeans, I think.
It was processed, very yeah. I know.
Okay, well, I think we pretty much covered the bacon story. I'll mention next week that we will have, what do we got? We got somebody calling on here talking about fizz, and I wrote down fizz in my notes, and I have no clue what it means. It's some kind of new drink called fizz. We also have Mark, I'm going to probably destroy his last name. It's either Racco or Rako. I think it's Rako. Coming on from Wise Jack Cooking, and they have what's called the Man's Cookbook, and they also have a new program online where they make recipes for men, and all you have to do is they give you all the ingredients for the week and show you how to make all the meals and give you step-by-step.
And you take it into your man cave and you just kind of try it in your man cave?
Exactly.
By yourself?
And it's,
oh, nice.
Exactly. I think they got nine chefs that have joined their program, and we're going to have them on to talk about their new program. It's kind of like Weight Watchers, but for men, but it's not for losing weight. It's just a meal planning service. So they're coming on next week, and let's see here. Who are we up singing next week? I don't know. Somebody singing next week.
It's not going to be me.
It might be.
I don't want to destroy your show.
Backs out. And then we got on February 15th, we got another Kickstarter person come in who's actually written a book, and I believe her book's about how to make money in Kickstarter, I believe. I may have misunderstood what I was told. But anyway. And I've got a few other surprises up my sleeve, and I guess we're pretty much out of time. Did you have anything else you wanted to add before we say goodbye and I play some music and go off into the Wild Wild West?
Do I ever have anything to add?
No, but I always ask anyway.
I know you do. And you'll always keep asking, always keep saying, I have nothing else to add.
I know, but that's why this show is so much fun. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate you joining us each and every Saturday. One of these days, we're going to go 24/7. I said 2014. Remember, there's 11 more months left, so we're planning on going 24/7, 365. And as soon as we get everything worked out and the funding deal worked out, we will let you know. So thanks again. Everyone have a nice weekend. We'll be back next Saturday. I'm going to play a little bit of, I haven't played these guys in a long time, and I like their music. You know I like their music. You don't really care for it, but I do. Moonshine Bandits, and everyone have a nice week. I already said that. Have a nice weekend. Well, have a nice weekend again. I'll say it again, and join us next week. We'll see you then.
Big B, Moonshine Bandits, Suburban Respectors. Let's go! I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw. I said I'm an outlaw.
Fire up the Harley, now I'm off to Cali to do my thing. Rolling down the 15 full speed, splitting these lanes. I got the common vote. That I'm going insane. True outlaw, think I'm lying. Just Google the name. Since 2006, me and Dirt Ball were rocking this outlaw shit, and they can't stand it. 2011, now I'm back with the movie.
bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me two shots. I need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm on the 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west, I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bumped me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept two. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hey, three knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you.
I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops for my outlaws. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops.
Let me get that mic one time, I'll show you how a southern boy does it. And pour another round for my moonshine cousin. A toast to the west, courtesy of the south. Brought to you by Colt Ford, people all aboard. It's the midnight rider, call me baby Bo Sleepers. For truckers and one percenters, I'm the southern representative. The midnight rider, a shotgun shooter. Real bad motherfucker, I'm the liquor store looter. Any way you want it, I can give it to you, baby. If you're working just right, maybe you can get the gravy. Damn, Katy Perry was right. This Cali girl need to come to the south and see that southern swirl. I'm a mud-digging, frog-gigging, blue-collar man. Love Waylon Jennings, Skinner, and Uncle Sam. What you see is what you get. That's all that I am. If you don't like that, I don't give a damn. Cause I'm a
whiskey-drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like